You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
us with your knife. Running like a red disease. Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah, ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a great or good or just fantastic weekend. This is still the Juneteenth Day weekend, and there's happenings around Juneteenth Day. So hopefully that in your location, there are happenings, and you get a chance to participate. I know there are some of us who...
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Celebrate Juneteenth Day for a number of reasons. And you've always heard my, discontent about Juneteenth Day, but it's all good. I still celebrate. I still remember the first Juneteenth Day vividly in Milwaukee, 1971. Yeah. And they celebrated every year since on Juneteenth Day. They don't do the weekend thing. They celebrate on Juneteenth Day. So right on for that. So this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. When you go to timeforanawakening.com, at the top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that, the drop down, you'll see at the top of it, African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, you can use the shortcut, babaoshi.net, whatever search engine that you might want to use. Put in the search, babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Thursday, last night, from 8 to 10, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, would host Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club, Mississippi on the Move. Tonight at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Tomorrow night, Saturday, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening, once again, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. You know what I'm going to do? I've been announcing these particular things for years and years. I've been doing this for quite a while. I've been doing this since I got here. And I've been here 10 years, So I'm going to break some of these things down and maybe add some or delete some. I don't know. But I've been making these announcements. I felt it was important to announce to the community things that are happening in the community that you may not be aware of and that you can share with others. Because, We Buy Black is a good thing. And support one another. Share with one another. Just like Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Tayemba, he's ready to leave next month, July 11th to the 23rd, going to Ghana. And then November 20th to December 2nd,
Kemet. For some of y'all don't know, Kemet is Egypt. See, there's two things about that. There's Kemet, which is us as Africans and black people. And then there's Egypt for those who are Caucasian, you know, because they wanted to take what we have done. So, no, it's not Egypt. It's Kemet. Yeah, I know. That's what it says on the map. That's what they say it is. Okay. December 24th to January 4th, 2025. Azania or Zania. That's how they pronounce it in South Africa. Azania or Zania. And then April 4th to April 14th. April 4th to 14th, Kenya. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. And then November 21st to December 1st, Brazil. And, of course, everything that you need is on the website. I mean, if you're not taking one of his trips and you're still going to do that, you're going to get out of here, all that information is right there, brothers and sisters. The visas, the shots, this, that, and the other. All right? Okay. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Habeshaw. HabeshawIncorporated.org. Habeshaw stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And, of course, they have a function coming up in October 12th in Ghana. From 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. in Ghana. And, of course, they have the Kashi Project area. It's beautiful buildings and so forth. But here in the Atlanta area is Habeshaw Works. Black Tar Roots, Golden Growers, Sustainable Seeds, and Urban Green Jobs. Habeshaw. I went to their program a few months ago. It was beautiful. The young brothers and sisters who are working with Habeshaw getting recognized for their contributions and what they provide for our community. Can't beat it. Beautiful. Yeah. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. And they deal in the four areas of human necessity. That this area is essential. These are the essentials for life. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in six different countries in Africa, and 170 people employed and over 260 members. 170 employed, 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan. I never forget when I first heard him on, I think it was Brother Elliott's program, the Minister of Wellness. Outstanding presentation. And, of course, Brother Ayo Kamathi, the irritated genie, turned me on to Brother Wellness. I did speak to him even before then. But I look forward to when he returns and having a conversation once again with the Minister of Wellness. Go to the Minister of Wellness. .com. Smy Pharmacy, Brother Jabril at Smy Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY. Brothers and sisters, give Brother Jabril a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. Smy Pharmacy. And of course, you can have him email you or just, but go to the website. SmyPharmacy.com, SmaiFarmacy.com. The Moses West Foundation. The Moses West Foundation. I'm going to highlight the Moses West Foundation. As I often do, because of all the announcements I do make, this one is probably most important and most critical. They're all good. They're all important. No, there's no doubt about that. And I got a number of others to go, but believe me, it's important that we understand that we have to have access to clean drinking water. Clean water.
the Moses West Foundation have developed and implemented the atmospheric water generation technology to provide clean sanitation and hygiene solutions worldwide, ensuring communities have access to essential services for health and well-being. We're a nonprofit organization focused on elevating the global water crises by bringing clean water access and water health and hygiene educational programs to the world's most impoverished communities. Safe Water Access, our program, our focus on schools, children, and rural communities across the United States and abroad. Sanitation and hygiene. Join us together as we accomplish global water poverty in one community at a time. As we abolish global water poverty one community at a time. The water quality with what they do with the atmospheric water generator, the AWG, exceeds EPA and World Health Organization quality, helping to improve communities, gain access to clean, safe drinking water, and hygiene education. Reduce the carbon footprint by generating large volumes of water from the air where it is needed. We cut transportation emissions, advancing our mission for a greener planet. That is important. We're currently working in 9 missions, 4 countries, and produce over 6 million gallons for charity. That's right. You know, Brother Moses West isn't looking for investors. He's looking for donations. This is essential. It's necessary. It ain't about making money. There's a smart way to end the water crisis. We collaborate closely with municipal and community leaders to identify areas within the community that lack water, access to clean water. Through this collaborative effort, we gain deep understanding of local needs and formulate a targeted mission aimed at fundraising for the installation of a permanent water unit in these communities. Our approach takes on the creation of comprehensive safe water solutions, incorporating both the necessary tools and educational programs to ensure that every member of the community benefits from sustainable access to clean water. This is vitally important. Water is the lifeblood of humanity. Without water, water improves health. Clean water boosts community health by cutting down on waterborne diseases, benefiting everyone, especially vulnerable groups like children and the elderly. Water boosts learning capacity. Children and women tasked with fetching water often miss out on education and face increased health and safety risk, underscoring the critical need for accessible water solutions. I've often said that the atmospheric water generator is not the solution. It is part of a solution to the problems that are happening. Brother Moses can build a machine just for you and your family, or just for you and your immediate neighborhood. But he also can build a machine that can serve literally thousands. $1 for water security equals $4.30 of growth. Implementing atmospheric water generating boosts community development, enhancing agriculture, jobs, and local businesses with reliable water, akin to turning $1 investment into water security into $4.30 of economic growth. Yeah, I tell you, help change lives with clean water, clean, reliable water. Give water. We believe in water. We believe in a world where everyone has safe drinking water. Partner with us. Don't skip a beat in the fight against the global water crisis. The Moses West Foundation. Water is free, as it should be. Go to MosesWestFoundation.org. Yep. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta in the West End. Here in the West End, I'm Ralph David Abernathy. They have delicious smoothies. And this, of course, is tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. They serve vegan dishes at Wadada's.
So check out what Dada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia, she has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, and so much more. Please give Mama Nia's call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore that we've been promoting for a number of years now is Brother Gazimdi Ajamu's, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia. In Lithonia. And the number to call Brother Ajamu is at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. In that same area, east of Atlanta, off of I-20, is the New Black Wall Street Market. Brother Jamu's at exit 74. Make a left and go north. And the New Black Wall Street is exit 75. Make a right and go south. Three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the New Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us, their Thursday night broadcast last night. Us Lifting Us. From 9 to 10 Eastern on blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com/ULU. And, of course, you want to listen by radio to listen and give questions, comments, or concerns. Just dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Also, too, very quickly, my good brother, Brother Yusuf Muhammad of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, every Friday from 4 to 6, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. It's on Blog Talk Radio, but you can give them a call at 563-999-3889. 563-999-3089. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop located in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah, check him out this weekend if you can. He's open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And, of course, he's got all kinds of good stuff. He even has a vegan restaurant on the premise. So Brother Abijah's got it going on. Give him a call at 478-256-1166 or 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. All right. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located in Forest Park, Georgia, 4140 Jonesboro Road, inside the International Discount Mall. And that's booth 225. Give my good sister Shelly Amundset a call at 404-434-7963, and, of course, Sanjay-Haiti with Sister Gabby and really in the work that she has done in Haiti. And so you want to check her out, go online, Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, dash, Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I, .org, Sanjay-Haiti, .org. So, there we go with the usual announcements. Like I said, I'm going to kind of focus on some, so give some clarity to what I've been asking you brothers and sisters to do. And, of course, we have the Akabin Institute and what Baba Broody and Mama Yah are doing. You know, they have a summer school program. And it started already, June 17th to July 19th. But you can give them a call at 404-753-7237. Or you can drop them an email at mwalimubarudi@yahoo. M-W-A-L-I-M-U, Mwalimu, Barudi, B-A-R-U-T-I, at yahoo.com. Once again, the phone number is 404-753-7237. give them a call about the classes they have for the summer school and so forth. It's online. Also, too, if you want to check out some books by Baba Baruti, he is a prolific writer, go to AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com. What I'm going to start doing, if I see something on Facebook, because they change so fast, you see something, you scroll down, you scroll back up to what you saw, it's gone. And because I saw the birth date for Dr. Mariba Kelsey, Brother Kenneth Zaki posted it, my good brother Kenneth Zaki. And Baba Kelsey is 99 years old. He works in the Pittsburgh community here in Atlanta, which is southeast, the southeastern part of Atlanta. And this brother is just, when I talk about an esteemed elder, this is the model that comes to mind. He has been working for our people for almost his whole adult life. He's from Ohio, went to Ohio State, you know. He's been here for quite a few years, you know, and he paid me probably what I consider the best compliment, you know. He said, since I met you and since you've been here, you've been consistent. You've been proven. I am who I am. I thank you, Baba Kelsey. So I'm going to find out if that is his birthday today or yesterday or tomorrow, and if he is 99 years. I know he's in the 90s. I went to a birthday party for him many years ago when he was in the early 90s. Yeah, over at Morehouse. Yeah. So, all right. It's going to be a Yo Show Friday. So, whatever's on your mind. Oh, yeah. Also, I told you about the AfriCorps, a community youth work program. And so, if you have issues with plumbing, electrical, painting, drywall, light fixtures, door installation and repair, TV mounting and other electronics, smartphones, audio visual systems, window tint, whatever, contact. The experts are affordable. Home improvement jobs. That's right. Contact handyhands.atlanta@gmail.com. handyhands.atl@gmail.com. Phone number 404-981-7691. 404-981-7691. Obviously, this is for the folks here in Atlanta. But, hey, you know, you never know. They might hook you up with somebody in your area. Yeah. Also, too, Saturday, July 20th, a healing event for brothers and sisters, African men and women, releasing our pain and healing together. Okay? That should be a very good program. Also, too, Baba Baruti will be on Sunday, this Sunday, the Black Dot Cultural Center, which, you know, I just mentioned the Black Dot Coffee Bar. African-Centered Consciousness versus the New World Order. If you remember the book, African-Centered Consciousness and the New World Order, that was Dr. Amos Wilson. African-Centered Consciousness versus the New World Order. Garveyism in the Age of Globalism. And Baba Baruti breaks this down and presents this information from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. this Sunday, June 23rd, at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. So I plan to be there. Hope that you do, too, if you're in that area. Okay? I'll make another announcement again. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary
thought. June 20th. In order for African men to live, the Negro has got to die. Death to the Negro. Tek Amun-Ra. Negroes are afraid of everything. Even when they act bravely, they do so out of fear of what will happen to them if they do not act as if they are courageous. These broken, discolored fragments of Yorugu's deranged imaginations are incredibly interesting to watch. They demonstrate an amazing level of sophistication in expressing the unspoken language they have developed to use in communicating with their pale handlers in the presence of Africans. For example, when Yorugu is in African territory with a Negro on his or her leash, they know to consciously watch the mannerisms and the movements of their Negroes for signals as how to act and who to speak to. And the Negro, fully aware of their mission and responsibility, his or her master knows to subtly keep him or her or them abreast of what they should and should not say, where they should and should not go, not look, and in which direction it is and what is not safe to tread. Also interesting is that in most encounters where Negroes see Africans as potential threats to their pale validators, they will position themselves like bodyguards in forms of a shield between Yorugu and our warriors. The lengths that they will go to pretend that they are not slaves whose sole job when guiding Yorugu through African spaces is to keep their masses, to keep their masses safe. We save y'all. Should never surprise us. And it makes sense of the common knowledge held by warriors that Negroes will have to go first because they will kill you before Yorugu will in order to protect the love they so desperately believe Yorugu has for them. Damn shame. I wish the incorrigible Negro nothing but death. Ashe, affirm. I wish the incorrigible Negro nothing but death. I must die. June 21st. A hero is born when the enemy hesitates and makes the worst mistake of all, to think he can put an end to everything. But it's at the same time that he makes everything start. Heroes and sheroes are those individuals who are supposed to serve as ideal reference points, as revolutionaries, uncompromising models, as epitomes of the warrior's character, as the best examples of what fearless genius should look like. As divine guides to power, they are rulers against which we can measure our personal growth. They are the revolutionary idea to which warriors hold themselves accountable. The ongoing search for warriors and archetypes to emulate makes a perfect sense for a people standing on the verge of destruction if they want to win. However, from an African center, the definition given above is extremely limited because it does not take into account the active responsibility of seekers or the role complementarity has our historically played in our development. Standing in nation building activities of these persons, Yorugu's reality has us so lost in the worship of individual heroes and sheroes that we find ourselves consistently looking outside of ourselves for solutions to even our most basic survival problems. We seem to have forgotten that more than anything else, knowing the record of sheroes and heroes is only for the purpose of becoming them and more. And caught in the fog of gender wars, we have forgotten about the complementarity and it's our historical centrality in African leadership, as well as the quality of the families, such relationships and gender. We have forgotten that family is the womb within which selflessness and a deep sense of accountability to one's people is socialized. Ashe. Affirm, I am born a hero. Affirm, I am born a hero. Complementarity is vitally important, family, for us as a people. We need each other. We work with each other. We stand by each other. We're side by side. I'm not ahead. She ain't ahead. We're side by side.
June 22nd. For those of us who dare to be honest with ourselves, we must quickly align our political and economic objectives with our work with the true desire of our hearts. We desire with passion to be free and masters our own fate. Let me repeat that. We desire with passion to be free and masters of our own fate. We betray ourselves and our ancestors when we settle for what others prescribe for us. The ancestors cannot bless us if we will not acknowledge the natural desire within us to have our own, to defend our own, and to have no masters but our collective selves, and to have no masters, nobody outside of us but our collective selves. That is Baba. That quote is Baba Akima Kenyama. Baba Akima Kenyama. It's my brother. Yeah. Whoever or whatever, that's us lifting us, family. Us lifting us. Every Thursday night, that Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio from 9 to 10. Whoever or whatever it is, if we cannot successfully defend it or defend him or it, then he, she, or it is not ours. Period. Let me read that again. Whoever or whatever it is, if we cannot successfully defend it, defend him or her or it, then he, she, or it is not ours, period. They accept the idea that you are someone's rightful guardian because biologically, or the courts say so, or that you own something because you have paid for it, you own it because you have paid for it through assuring to a pacified inhabitants. Is patently false in a police state. The idea that you can completely own anything except your own mind, assuming you are sane in the first place, that your land deed will be respected, that you can escape by running to another place in that globalizing police state, even that you can actually keep yourself or your family safe while you and they are visible to living in mechanical spies is a fiction. You cannot change this fact without destroying the police state, because any consciously oppressive order is fully aware of why it exists and how to remain in power. We can dress it up in all kinds of pretty, liberal, grassroots reactive, reform-based blueprints and initiatives. You can pontificate it to death. But the only way that it will ever be changed is through the complete and total obliteration of its creators, the institutions they use to sustain it, and those who will always be their true believers. Ashe. Affirm, I am honest with myself. Affirm, I am honest with myself. Oh, this Monday's Inyasasim with Mama Nabantu. All right, her quote. All right, brothers and sisters, the Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Let me get Brother Lus, Brother Ted Lus, good morning. Brother Ted Lus, good morning.
Hold tight, Baba, I'm dead. Hey, man, I'm out here in the yard getting some good sun. You understand? Drinking some water.
Yes, sir, brother.
And, listening to the program.
Beautiful.
And I want to take this opportunity once again to say thank you.
Always.
Thank you to you and everyone associated with African Perspectives. This is an opportunity once again to be able to express ourselves
and
become
that.
One with the universe and one with each other.
Yes, sir.
Hopefully, if all is well, I'd like to introduce the radio audience to a brother out of Mississippi in Megger Eversville, Mississippi.
Ah, yes.
And hopefully,
in Jackson,
brother,
that's in Jackson, Mississippi.
Is on, and I'd like to introduce him to you, to the audience, and the audience to them, and them to him, and so this will be an opportunity once again to expand, to establish the allies that we need with each other in different parts of the Southeast and of the United States, and right next door to being next door, Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi, yes. Louisiana, Texas, Tennessee. Hey, Brother Marcus, I hadn't forgotten about you out there either.
That's for sure.
And brothers in Maryland as well as in Arizona. So, you know, hopefully it's just one more addition to the family. And thank you so very much for this opportunity, for picking my call, as always.
Well, now, Brother Lutz, thank you so much. And you have done so much for this program. You have consistently given information and turned on other brothers and sisters to this program. I cannot thank you enough. I appreciate you. And, of course, if ever I get back that way again, in fact, I would love to check out the Montgomery, you know, the museums and all other things that are happening in the city of Montgomery.
Well, very well. Hopefully, my cohort friend and brother, Michael Jackson out of Canton, Michigan/Detroit, Michigan, hopefully we'll have a chance to be on your show.
Okay.
And to be able to express our thoughts and our position on our 13th annual Ma'afa commemoration.
Ashe.
We've been doing this now, and we've been doing it with the very best of our abilities to educate the community and to form alliances with the Nation of Islam local mosque here, as well as others who are willing to join hands and lock arms together to work. It's about being of service, Brother Oshie. Do you hear me?
It's about being of service. Right on. So when is it going to take place? When is it going to take place?
This is going to take place the second Saturday in July, July 13th, from 10 a.m. to 12:30-ish.
Okay.
Hopefully, after all is over, people will be able to patronize black businesses.
Yes.
Be open on Saturday, as well as going to the Freedom Sculptor part of the Equal Justice Initiative project. So there's just going to be people here. We just want everyone to come dressed comfortably, most preferably in ceremonial white. Bring your noisemakers, bring your drums, bring your chairs. Just be comfortable and be able to come and meet someone new, someone different, and just love on each other, because we really, really need this.
Right on, my brother. I look forward to it, and I look forward to presenting this information to our listening audience, you know, whoever other guests that you may have, and whatever it is that you want to do around this day, it'll be blasted from here, from this platform, brother. You know it.
Very good.
All right, brother.
And even though he may not be here physically, Brother Paul, we love you across the pond, brother.
That's for sure, man.
Stand strong there as well. And so we're all over. We're all over, from the Pacific Northwest, the Southeastern United States. We're all over, baby.
That's right.
So we just want to make sure connect, and that's what it's all about.
Well, listen, that's why I'm confident in terms of, even though it doesn't look good, I know that. I'm not naive, but I'm still confident and assured that we will win. Appreciate you, brother.
Aluda continue until victory is certain.
That's right. Okay, brother. Have a blessed weekend. Peace to you.
All right.
Still listening and learning.
Right on. That's Brother Ted Lusk out of Montgomery, Alabama. And first heard him on Dr. Rogers' program, you know. And, of course, Dr. Rogers has transitioned. Dear friend, believe me. And, of course, he's been listening to this program in conjunction with Dr. Rogers' programs and other programs on the Time for an Awakening family with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. So he's a diligent listener and contributor. I can't say enough about Brother Ted Lusk. Appreciate you, man. All right. And another brother I can't say enough about, and that's Brother Rick. What's happening, man? Brother Rick? Are you there? Okay. Can't you jump down? But maybe he's not on. But we'll come to him. Like I said, this is a
your show Friday, whatever you want to talk about, what we can get into. I'll throw some stuff out there, you know, because stuff is happening. Stuff is happening, and we need to be aware. We need to prepare ourselves, because our existence, you know, I played that piece last week about Howard Nicholas and his, which is an old piece, brothers and sisters, talking about we got to keep Africa poor. We need those resources. Africa must never be able to produce anything. They must never be able to use their resources and produce stuff to sell to the world. We got to keep them poor. We got to take those. And of course, now you understand that Africa is the richest continent on this planet. When if you talked about Pangea, and I'm not saying it just, you know, sarcastically, but I'm saying, you talk about Pangea, and you're saying that was one huge landmass. And over the tens of thousands and maybe millions of years, it began to separate with it because of the tectonic plates and shifting and so forth to the continents that you see. And of course, Europe is not no goddamn continent. That's just the arrogance. That's just the arrogance of white people. It's not a continent.
Like a toilet.
Oh, hey, Brother Rick. What's happening, man? How are you doing today, brother?
Yeah, no, I'm great. You know, you just talking that Europe is like a toilet for the earth, man.
That's for sure.
And the people that come from there, you know what goes in their toilet. So I'm not even going to say that over here.
Right on.
Use our common sense. Right on. You know, I really appreciate you, brother.
I appreciate you,
very
too, brother.
Few people.
Thank you.
There are very few people that I communicate with. And particularly on the air, I used to do it a lot. I don't do it very much now. And there are very few that I would even consider having some sort of discussion with. And you are at the top of the list.
Well,
I want you to know that, man. Don't think that you're just doing something, you know.
Well, listen,
and
man.
There are people that are listening to you.
Yeah, I thank you so
and
much.
And I dare say that the caliber of people that listen to you are the kind of people that you could sit at the table with, and we could figure this thing out.
Right on. I appreciate
that. If we got enough of us in communication, we could figure this thing out, man. But the problem is, or I'll say one of the problems is, that a lot of people are satisfied with it shit being the way it is.
Yeah.
They don't realize.
Yeah.
Many people don't realize that life is not about serving these people. It's not about serving this country.
Right.
It's about serving your family and your community, however you define that to be. Now, white folks don't have a problem with that idea. They can be as just graceful with each other, but when it comes to a black person walk in the room, they all united.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, listen. I've,
yeah, they're all united.
I've said this so many times in reference to how Europeans have developed themselves when they were in those medieval age, when they were land poor, resource poor, and people poor, and the only light or information was the brothers and sisters who had accepted Islam, who were African, dark-skinned men. You've seen the pictures. You've read what they did. The Moors, you know, you read the fact that they brought irrigation and water and lights. They did so much in that 700 years. It started in 711. And it ended, ironically, in 1492, you know, with Columbus.
Yes.
That whole thing.
There's no coincidence.
No.
It's not a coincidence.
No, it's not.
Go ahead. You're right.
It's not. And one of the things that the Europeans did when Charlemagne and Martel and others began that awakening, they said, we may war amongst ourselves. And they do. Because they're
right.
A very warring people. They're constantly in conflict.
Yes.
We may war amongst ourselves, but we are going to come together on those who are outside of us. And that's what they've done.
That's right. And that's what they do. And they show it. They show us every day in sometimes subtle and sometimes in very profound ways. And when I say we, I'm speaking us collectively, Oshie.
Right.
We have accepted their way of communicating and thinking.
Yeah.
In other words, when I was in Oshie, and you may have even experienced some of this, but I don't try to be like other people. I try to be like myself. I try to figure out how is it that my sense of morals and intelligence guide my next action.
I said,
when I was in elementary school, Oshie, I remember people standing up doing flag salutes. And I was getting into history even then. We had, my mother had, God bless her soul, she got the whole issue of World Books.
Ah.
And I had all of them, and I would read those things.
Yeah.
Man, I was 9, 10 years old, and I'd read that stuff. And I said, God damn. You know, I didn't probably use that language, but I'm just saying, you know, why are we trying to be integrated with people who think like this?
Yeah.
Well, people whose history is this. I mean, history, they wrote the history, and it's bad. So you know how it would be if we had wrote it.
Yeah, you know, with this, check this out. This was interesting. And I mentioned this at a presentation I did many years ago, that their history is all about conflict. Their history is all about wars and victories in war and defeats in war.
And death.
And death. That's who they are. And that's what they're about. That's who they are. That's what they're about, you know?
And see how people, and you, yes, sir. And, you know, it's clear that we understand that. When I say we, I mean you and I. You know, Elijah Muhammad taught something that was profound. When he spoke in terms of God and the devil, you know, we took that as like, oh, we're not supposed to say stuff. Man, them, if there's a devil anywhere, he exists in these people.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I mean, their history shows that there ain't no devil greater than them. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way.
Right.
There are some white people who will be honest and will tell you, yes, we are the devil. You know, it's very few. Still, they don't reject it. I've never heard a white person argue against the fact that they are devils, because their history, just like when you and I apply for assistance and whatever we might. First thing they do, brother, is look at our credit report. They look at our report.
Right.
They look at how we've done things. They look at our history, in other words.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if our history does not meet their standards, they don't deal with us in that way. We're just the opposite. These folks got a flag that is, it represents the death of our people for centuries, for no reason other than they were breathing in air. And we teach our children, when I say we, I mean collectively, want to figure out how to be involved with them as opposed to getting separated from them. And I begun to say that Elijah Muhammad showed us an example. Even if you don't accept Islam, I should say people's definition of Islam, because it's simply peace. It's what brings the moon and the sun and the stars into the sky every day, whether we like them or not, they're there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And whether we're alive or not, they're there.
That's right.
And so it's a way of life that is accepting what is real. And that's something we as a people have gotten away from, man. They got our children standing up saying the flag salute and all that crap. Man, I remember, like I had begun to say, when I remember being in ninth grade and they were looking at me all strange, and I was like, damn, I'm not standing for this craziness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, eventually they stopped doing it in the school I was
in. That's right. They stopped doing it.
And so it gave me an indication of just one person doing what they know is right can influence people, not necessarily immediately, but over time. Truth sometimes has to grow.
Right.
And that's a lesson that I learned. So a lot of things that I say and think, I don't expect people to accept it, but truth will prove it.
That's
in
right.
Time. And either prove me right or prove me wrong. And I accept either one as it comes.
I heard that.
So
brother,
I just wanted to say finally, I appreciate you, brother, in a way that I've never told you, you being a male and I'm a male, we can't express it the full way.
Right,
but
on.
I'm saying I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too, dear brother.
And then people listening, and every opportunity I get, I tell people, check them out.
Thank you. Thanks, Brother Rick.
Yes, sir.
You have a blessed weekend,
brother.
Man. Peace.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. I tell you, love that brother. He's a good man. You know, some of these people, I hear your voice, and I picture what you look like or how you are, but I may see you, may not. I did have an opportunity to see Brother Lusk after many years and have break bread with him and his lovely lady, and we had a good time, me and him and Kwaku, when I was coming back from Mississippi with the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Yeah, that was a good program. Appreciate that. It's that time. Yeah. Going to take a break. We come back from the break. You know, it's your show. So if you got questions, comments, or concerns, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Sorry about that, brothers and sisters, experiencing some technical difficulty right here. I'm going to get it together here in a minute. Okay. This thing don't want to act right. Okay. I think I got to have it here in a second. Man. Okay. Let's see if this happens. I don't know, man. This is going to be our music, and we had some good music for you. I chose a couple of nice cuts, you know, on Friday. So all the time on Friday, I always like to have some nice bumping music, get you ready for the weekend, you know. Well, I might not be able to do that, family. I am very surprised. I'm not being able to do that. It's not working for me, and so we'll just continue on. That's the thing. If it doesn't happen, you know, we'll continue on. Oh, wait a minute, family. Yeah, here we go. All right. Here we go, family.
Street life, or you're gonna feel the cold. There's
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yeah, Randy. Randy Crawford and Street Life, great cut. And of course, Maxwell, Ascension. Yeah, should not realize. That's great. That's just some good music. Don't ever wonder. Yeah, that's some good music right there, I tell you. Ah, and it's Friday, so we always play some bumping music on Fridays. At least we try. At least I try. Get you in that Friday mood. Hope you have a great weekend, family. Hope you do a lot of good things that you want to do, should do, must do, can do, will do. Yeah. One of the things that we can bounce around a little bit, of course, I don't get off into the election, you know, like that. I don't get off into the candidates. I could care less about Donald Trump, and equally as careless about Joe Biden. But many people argue, you know, when you look at Donald Trump, in fact, Donald Trump has just pulled a piece out where he's trying to get the people who work in the hospitality industry or in the industries that rely on tips, and that they're not going to
take out taxes on your tips. That's why many people now, they'll even say to you, but if you know you're already cognizant of it, you'll say, "Hey, okay, I'll give you a cash tip. Just you know, put that in your pocket because the tips that go, that come off your card, because mostly everybody's pays by card. You know, in fact, there's many places that don't take cash at all. Everything's by card. But I'm quite sure if you have a server, he or she will take the money, will take the tip, cash. You don't have to report it, you know. But the ones that pull into that tip thing, it's all accumulated and it is taxed. You know, that's the thing. You know, there's a mixed feeling about taxes. I think taxes are necessary, but damn, you know, you are taxed on every, you're taxed when you get the money, you're taxed when you spend the money, you're constantly, you know, the people who win the lottery, man, by the time they take out all these taxes for, you know, capital gains, this, that, and just to win it, you know, you're only getting half right off the jump. And then you're getting a fraction of that half because of the taxes they take out. You know, I mean, everybody would argue, I'll still take that. I understand that. That still could be hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, tens of millions, who knows. But the bottom line is, this country is serious. And I think for many of us, how do they use this tax money? You know, how does that happen? How do they use it? What do they use it on? You know? And so that's an issue, you know? Yeah, that's an issue. A friend of mine sent me a bunch of Dr. Umar. You know, I tell you, I don't have mixed feelings about Dr. Umar. I love the brother. Since the first time I heard him on the Hidden Colors series, you know, what was surprising, I didn't know about Tariq Nasheed being a pimp and all this other kind of talk until I heard that bull, you know. So I didn't know about Tariq Nasheed. And, of course, Tariq Nasheed and Brother Umar had a big fallout, and that's why he didn't appear on any of the after two. He didn't appear on the third and fourth one, and he didn't appear on the 1804, the Haitian Revolution documentaries. And the documentaries are good. There's some falsity, you know, that they still, I think they came out with the El Kabilan. That Africa, the kind of Africa is called El Kabilan. Brothers and sisters, it is not El Kabilan, okay? It is not. You know, I got a piece that I saved from Renoco about that, you know. So, yeah, it is not El Kabilan. It is Africa. But whether you call it that or whatever the continent is, the bottom line is it is under severe attack consistently. It has been and continues to be. And it is up to us that it is up to us as Africans, wherever we are on the continent and throughout the diaspora, to save Africa for us. It is up to us to reclaim and restore the history of us as a people and to reclaim our land and to work together to make that happen. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. That's why our situation globally is what it is, because we don't connect. We don't connect with Africa. And even beyond the connecting with Africa is the establishment and the control of Africa's land and resources and its people. That's what must happen. That's what should happen and must happen. Yeah, so Dr. Umar, the sister brought out a couple of pieces. I'm gonna play them blindly. I don't know. You know. Let me play this. I'm gonna play this blindly. Like I said, I like Dr. Umar Johnson or Infateo. That's not his. He doesn't go by Johnson anymore. He goes by Infateo. Yeah. Filling out his African name. You know. But a lot of people still call him Dr. Umar Johnson.
You know what bothered me the most about all of these rappers defending Eminem without him even asking them to, without him even paying for them to do it? What offended me the most about it, Art, I've never seen any of them defend black women the same way. Now, one of these rappers who defended Eminem against me, I never seen a single one of them defend black women as ferociously as they defended Eminem. What did I say earlier? Politically effeminate. Our gangster rappers are politically effeminate. Our basketball players, NFL players, politically effeminate. Whenever it comes to holding white people responsible for appropriating black culture, here comes the gangster rappers to defend their white Jesus. Here comes the basketball players to defend their white Jesus. It's absolutely insane. Black celebrities never defend us. They never defend black America, but whenever white folks are offended by black people, they're the first people to pop up.
Hey, honey.
Yeah. Can't dispute that. No? Can't dispute that. Yeah. And I know that there were a number of people, in fact, Dr. Umar's father, when he was really messed up about 4 or 5 years ago, with that conscious stripper. Yeah, I mean, I met Umar many years ago, you know. He came to from the Hidden Colors series, got him to come to Milwaukee a couple of times, put him up and everything. So Umar knows me and I know him, you know. And I told him I'm supporting him, but I just feel bad about what's going on here. And you got to correct this. You got to correct this. Man. And you got to come straight about what's happening with the school. You know, now supposedly next, we'll see, this coming school year, the 24-25 school year, 24-25 school year in Maryland, not Maryland, in Delaware. It's where his school is, and supposedly they got the work done. I know Brother Ralph, and Brother Ralph is the reason why I'm on this platform, and I thank him all the time. Good brother. Brother Ralph was going to do some work for Brother Umar, and it turned out not to happen, and he was disappointed with that, and I don't blame him, you know. So there's some things there that one would call improprieties, or someone would call some shadiness, some Slim Shady, talking about Eminem. No, I'm not. But the bottom line is we have to have integrity. We have to be men and women of character. It's important that we do that. That we exemplify the best in us, you know. And I tell you, like I said, I'm going to put a marking on those things that come in on Facebook, because you see them and then they're gone, you know. Yeah. Donald Trump. Yeah. So, let me, I was looking for something family, that's why I'm hesitant, but let me go ahead and play this next piece.
Hey, honey, welcome home.
No.
No?
Hey, thank you. Man, I tell you, stop doing that.
Everybody stop.
I often find two competing explanations for so-called ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
One you already hit on because you went through it.
Right.
And that is a gifted child. Mm. Whose giftedness is being ignored and blamed on ADHD.
Right.
He ain't got ADHD. He's smart. And the curriculum ain't challenging him.
Right.
That's why he's hyper and inattentive, because he's bored.
Right.
Right?
Right.
The other one, Brother Nick, is a child who comes to school dealing with emotional problems from home
right.
and can't focus on the work
mm-hmm.
because I'm reliving the trauma of the house.
Right.
So now we got these teenage black girls committing suicide. And one of the reasons why they're committing suicide is the fatherlessness mm. has made them vulnerable
wow.
to so many types of abuse and exploitation
wow.
that they've taken their own lives.
Right.
I personally was part of a situation
wow.
where a girl in a high school in Philadelphia, we found her in the girl's bathroom, wrist slit.
Wow.
Guess why? Her boyfriend broke up with her. That is how desperate a lot of our girls are. Because of the absentee fatherism. Mm. And when I say fatherism, I don't just mean her biological.
Right.
I'm saying black men. Because here's the thing, Brother Nate. Every woman on the planet Earth, and of course I'm focusing on my sisters, but I want what's best for the others as well, but I'm going to focus on us. Every black woman needs a black man who genuinely cares and loves about her, who doesn't want what's between her legs. Mm. You understand me?
Yeah.
Normally, that's your father, but a lot of them, the fathers ain't there. That could be your grandfather. He might be an ancestor.
Right.
That could be your uncle. He might be stationed off in the military zone somewhere. You understand?
Facts.
Every girl needs a man who's intimately in love with him, but not sexually.
Right.
When she don't get that, she go looking for that.
Right.
And that's why we got a teenage pregnancy problem in the black community.
Right.
If we didn't have a fatherless problem, if we didn't have a fatherlessness problem, there would be a teenage pregnancy problem.
Yeah.
Teenage pregnancy is not about sex.
Right.
It's not about promiscuity.
Yeah.
It's about a girl looking for the father's validation. And because he's not there, she goes shopping elsewhere.
Wow.
Now, let's bring this to the black-on-black love.
Yeah.
As you know, black people are the last to marry and the first to divorce.
Mm.
And the black woman is the last to get married and the first to get divorced, right? Now, because we are the most traumatized community, that trauma automatically affects our relationships. You can't talk about healthy black male-female love if you don't talk about black-on-black community dysfunction.
Right.
Why would the family be functional if no other institution is?
Right.
You see that? Don't divorce the family from everything else we got going in the community, which is dysfunctional. Now, too often, Nick, from a psychological perspective, we go into relationships looking to fulfill needs that our parents never did.
Right.
So the relationship is a means to an end of getting something you never got.
Right.
And the main things we're looking for from our opposite partner, we're looking for intimacy and love. We're looking for availability and presence. We're looking for trust and dependency. And we're looking for reciprocity and the ability to share. Those are four things you needed from your mother, four things you needed from your father. If you got both, you can love and you can leave.
Mm.
If you didn't get both, you might be unstable, insecure and unstable in certain areas.
That's powerful. That's more powerful than the five love languages.
You see?
you need to coin that and write a book on
and
that.
And on top of that, Brother Nick,
yeah.
What the opposite gender parent did to you or didn't do matters most.
Mm.
See, my father could have been present. My father and I could have been intimate father-son, healthy. My father could have been trustworthy. We could have been able to share and exchange. But what if I couldn't do it with my mom?
Didn't get any of those.
Do you see that?
Right.
I'm going to look for a woman to do for me what my mother could not. You ever been in a relationship with a woman where you felt like you was more than a husband? You had to be the father, too.
Mm.
See that? That's where that comes from, Nick.
Mm.
She had an unmet need.
Mm.
Daddy didn't do it, so now I need Nick to do this. And you weighing on me too much because I'm your king,
yeah.
But now you want me to be your dad. I didn't sign up for both roles,
right.
And you draining me.
Yeah.
I love you, but you draining me.
Right.
If you don't pull back off this father role, I might have to leave this relationship because, in essence, what you have become to me is a spiritual vampire. What is a spiritual vampire, Nick? A spiritual vampire is a psychologically, emotionally unhealthy African floating around the community looking for somebody to heal illnesses and injuries to their soul that only their parents can fix.
Wow.
Emotional vampires think that if I find the right man, if I find the right woman, he can heal me. No, he can't. That damage was done by your family of origin, and it got to be repaired there. You ever watch one of those old horror movies, Freddy Krueger, Jason or something, and they want to finally kill Jason or Freddy.
Right.
And the person comes and tell them, you got to go back to where they was born. You got to go back to the beginning.
Right.
The same thing is in relationships.
The origin story.
The same thing is, and what I tell black women, if you know you weighing too heavily on your king, go find you a surrogate dad. Go find you an elder, somebody who's too old to want something from you. And ask him, can he be that person that can give you honest advice and a hug when you need it? And the same thing with men. Because for men who didn't have their mother, not only do they look for women to fulfill those needs, Nick, but you know what else? They become the domestic abusers. If you were to interview men who abuse their women of any race, but we're talking about us, you will find that disproportionately, they were either abandoned by their mothers or abused by their mothers in some way. They carry that pain in them. It never went away. And guess what? When the girlfriend starts letting them down and disappointing them,
it's transferred to her.
The transference from the mother.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know this. Well, you probably do because you read the news. We're dealing with an epidemic of black men killing a black women. Choking them, killing it. We never did that.
Yeah.
We never did that. And now we're doing it. Going back to your mental health piece.
Yeah.
Black men, because we are the most oppressed, we're the most traumatized.
Mm.
But you know what else? Because of our definitions of masculinity, which says a man can't be vulnerable to get help, we're the least likely to go get some damn help.
Fact.
Black men are in pain, but we cover it up with the exterior.
Yeah.
But when we get behind the privacy of our door and our home, we let all that pain out on the only person who loves us unconditionally, and that's the woman. You see, I always tell people this. If you don't like you, why are you expecting him to like you? Why are you looking for a relationship if you ain't got one with yourself first? You don't like yourself. Why are you shopping
Say that
for
again.
A, if you don't like yourself,
right.
Why would anybody else like you?
Hey,
you don't even like
you. Don't
you.
Like yourself and you looking and I'm supposed for to spend somebody else to like you.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Same thing with self-esteem.
Yeah.
I tell people, if you got low self-esteem, you have no business dating somebody with high self-esteem because the only thing you could be to them is an emotional slave. We always talk about being equally yoked economically.
Right.
We talk about being equally yoked educationally.
Right.
What about being equally yoked psychologically?
Yeah.
Because guess what,
and
Nick?
Emotionally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If Nick Cannon dates a sister who has no self-confidence,
right.
First of all, you're not going to want her because without self-confidence, you're not attractive.
Right, right.
But on top of that, you're going to end up being her slave master.
Yeah, dominating her. Then she want to call me a narcissist.
Because she has no... But don't get me wrong, though, Nick. I'm going to say this, though. I'm going to say this. For us black men, we do have a narcissism problem in relationships with our women.
100%.
Do you understand me?
Yeah.
We have
because that's an ego problem.
It's an ego problem.
Yeah.
Let me ask you. I'm just going to put you on the spot.
All right.
Being as successful as you are.
Right.
Do you think you struggled with narcissism in your romances?
Absolutely, but I'm doing the work. So I know the narcissistic personality disorder. I've taken the test.
Okay.
But again,
but even men who are not where you are, suffer with the narcissism.
Because it's a spectrum.
Yes, sir.
I don't have problems with rage, which a lot of men in our community do.
Absolutely,
I don't have a problem with rage. That's probably from doing the work.
Yeah,
I'm empathetic. I do have empathy.
Which is good because a lot of men don't.
Right.
One thing we as men do poorly, I've been there before too. When you've been through trauma,
right,
whether it's home or romance, we are less courageous at becoming vulnerable again to give another woman an opportunity to love us the way we need to be loved.
Say that.
Black women often chase the women away that we want because we don't allow them to love us. We are shut off emotionally. And we try to substitute the shutting off emotionally with providing them with the lavish lifestyle, the gifts, the sex, the social life.
Guilty.
Do you see that?
Guilty.
And so what happens is we will say, I can't keep a woman. It's not true. You're chasing her away through your nonverbals and your emotional detachment. There's nothing that starves a woman more than when she tries to love us and we don't let her.
All right.
Umar Johnson. No, Umar. Dr. Umar Infanteo. Yeah. Him talking with Nick Cannon and trying to help us understand how important it is to establish good relationships with each other. And because we're the ones in this society, particularly in this society, who are most fragmented. But brothers and sisters, you have to understand that's by design. One thing for sure that these Europeans do not want is a stable, strong African family. They didn't deal with it too much back coming out of our captivity, you know, when we were so-called free, you know. But come the 60s, yeah, we talked about black power coming together. Imagine if we had strong families, men and women. Because now understand something. When I was young as a child and coming up as a teenager, so we had fathers and mothers predominant in our community. And over the periods of time in the 70s and into the 80s and definitely into the 90s and at the turn of this past century, 80% of our households in this country are headed by a woman, single female, without any presence of the man. You know. Oh, good afternoon, dear brother. How you doing, Brother Paul?
Good afternoon, Baba Ochi. How are you today?
I am doing well, my friend. I am doing well. What about you?
Well, I'm alive and kicking, and all right. The better to hear this wonderful program and your wonderful interjection and the pieces you played.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's give thanks for life.
Yes.
When you had that guest on, Baba Baruti, at the time I was trying to look up, and I don't know if you're familiar with it. I was trying to look up what laws in America govern children. Do you know what it is? Or what type of legislation governs, like, for instance, like if there's a breakup in the home, and what, do you know what law, is there a particular act or legislation which governs?
No, I don't. But usually, if there's a breakup in the family, it's the female that has the children. Yeah. She's the nurturer and so forth. And first immediate caregiver is the female, you know. And then, of course, the male is responsible for care, monetary care specifically, for the child or children, you know. And if he doesn't, then, of course, she takes him to court. And the court renders a judgment against him. If he's working, they'll deduct payment from him for child care. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the reason why, because at the time, I can't remember exactly why I went to look at it. Because, look, even some of the things you played, some of the arguments we look at, obviously there's a social connection to it in terms of social behavior and interaction between the couples. There's that as an effect. But one of the things which occurred to me when I was in law, especially in the early days, when I came into law in about the 88, an act, what we call an act, came out, which goes through Parliament, and they make an amendment to an act, or they create a new act, and that act then is goes through a certain amount of procedures, then it's moved into law. And when I came in, they had changed, a major change had taken place in the Children's Act. And they call that the Children's Act 1989. Amendments have come after that, but why I talk about that, because one of the things which we were doing a lot of on the ground level, as a practical basis, is something they call parental responsibility. And what that meant was that if you're an unmarried father, what they were saying is, that in order to get rights to your children, you had to do one of two things. You had to either go to court and apply to court to get something called parental responsibility, where if you obtained it, that would give you rights, like, for instance, to get the child's report, go to the school without the mum's permission, talk to the child's doctor, you know, make, you know, you give
right.
you those sort
I
of
see.
Rights.
Yeah, same. Right.
As a married father,
right.
Yeah, they call that parental responsibility, right? So that came in the act, right? That came in under that act, this thing called parent responsibility. Now, I think before that act, what you had was an unmarried father had no rights in law. You understand?
Okay. Right.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. I think an amendment since that act is what if your name is on the birth certificate now, I think you automatically get those rights. If your name is not on the birth certificate, you then have to go to court.
Right.
Or the other alternative was you could sign this document. If you can consent between you and your partner, you sign the document and then you file it with the court.
Right.
The reason why I talk about that, because I remember we dealt with a lot of those things because it was new. And so we did a lot of those applications. And I remember one time looking at the act and reading that. It says in the act that the parents have no rights to their children, right? Which is strange thing to...
Wait, what did you just say?
It said in the act that the... Like one time, you know, I thought to myself, I need to read... Because we were doing a lot of the work. I thought, I need to sit
Because you're saying
down.
The parents have no rights to the... Brother Paul. Go ahead.
I had to sit down and start to read it, yeah? And part of the section is a section, it says, parents have no rights to their children. Now, those times I was an office junior, and I kept on reading that, and it, in black and white, parents have no rights to their children. And I'm thinking, it's because I at that time, I didn't really have that in-depth lack of knowledge, and I'm thinking, maybe I'm not understanding this yet.
Right.
So, anyway, as time's gone on and I got more familiar with it, I started to realize something, yeah? Because you'd ask some lawyers about it. You'd ask people who was involved about it. But you never seem to get an answer. It's almost as if... Because I don't think, actually, after you've done these studies, the lawyers, they don't really read the acts, you know? Because it's so boring. There's so much repetitive information, you understand? You just deal with what you deal... obviously to get paid or to whatever, you know what I mean, what you're dealing with at the time. So you can miss things if you understand. If it comes up in court, if it comes up, then you deal with it, yeah? But often many times when I ask lawyers, right, about this, you know, like barristers, what we call barristers, who are in court every day, they seem to not know. It's like almost as if I'm saying, have you seen that part in the act? And they would not give you a confirmed answer as if to suggest they hadn't read it or they missed it, right? Or it didn't mean much, right? But it actually says in black and white, you have no rights to your children, yeah? And it so much bothered me all the while, right? Now, what I'm saying is, what I've seen in practice is this, yeah? Like, for instance, in the law, it says a child in this country, a child at 12 years old, can make its own decisions, right? If it can comply to something called Gillett competence. I'm not going to make this too complicated. I'm going to try and explain it because it's very important. I think it's similar in America. Gillett competence, they ask the child a certain amount of questions, right? Your name, date of birth, your age, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if the child can answer those questions, they claim that that child is Gillett competent. That means if the child, like, for instance, is a girl child, she's 12 years old, they can put her on a pill without the parent's permission. Right. Now, what I'm saying to you, now I want you to listen. I want you to feel that reaction you've got, right? Because I'm going to show you something here. Yeah. Over the years, yeah, I have spoke to so many parents about this. Yeah, and I'm telling you, I've probably met one or two parents who actually know this. Most of them argue with me and tell me, "No, no, that's not the case." And I'm thinking, "You're telling me that's not the case? That's in the law. That's on the documents." 12 years old. Now, I've even listened to radio programs, right? And they've had so-called legal people on there, and they're telling the people it's 16. And I'm thinking to myself, it ain't 16, it's 12. Now, this sounds crazy what I'm telling you, but let me show you the madness of it, yeah? How these people deceive the people. So, now, for instance, if something happened at the school, like with a parent who thinks that it's 16 or whatever it is, yeah? The school can actually call in the social workers. By the time you get to the school, you won't see your children. And then you'll be saying, where's my child gone? And they say, oh, it's with the social worker. And you're going to think, well, how did you allow the social worker to come to deal with my child without my permission?
Exactly.
Because the parents don't know that it's 12. Now, I feel, I haven't got concrete evidence. You know, one lawyer said to me when I was training, he said to me, one time I said to him, you know, I was a bit confused. How does this thing work? Because it's like, you know, you read the law, you study, you know certain things, but it's like, I was getting the feeling that when people come to our office, they're just ignorant. They're just ignorant of the law. When, in actual fact, the law is governing every aspect of the life, and they don't know nothing about it. You understand? And you know what he did? And this was an experienced lawyer. He started laughing. Now I'm thinking, why is this guy laughing? Like this, yeah? I'm asking him a serious question. But you see what it is, Baba Olchi, in my time in this world, people do not really think, you know. They don't engage their brains. It's almost as if we're so conditioned, like, if, for instance, if you go and learn law, you don't even start to question what you're learning. You don't even question the madness of what you're even reading. You just go along with it. You understand? And then you realize that, all right, it's like, you know, I say this with a heavy heart. It's almost like a racket. It's like a racket they're running. I'm going to let you into another thing. I used to work in insurance, right? And on the back of the insurance document, it's all in small print. I used to say to myself, why is it in small print? Why, you know what I mean? So you read it. You know, one stage I realized that most of the information on the back is illegal. But what they're counting on is the fact that you're not going to go to court. Because you've been told that when you sign the document, you sign the contract. But in law, if the contract is illegal, then it's legal. But they know you're not going to go to court. Listen to what I'm telling you. It's fact. I'm showing you what's going on here. And people, that, even as I tell you, I know you're not believing it because it's so unbelievable. So coming back to this Children's Act thing, yeah? And I'm sure, that's why I was trying to look up that the information in America, because I'm sure it's similar in terms of age. They have the public and the normal person believing that that child, you know, like 16 or whatever age it is, right? When it's actually 12 years old, when they can take full control of your child, but they will let you believe that it's later on, right? But when it actually says in the act, two things, that you have no rights over the act. And the reason why it actually says that, you have no rights, because what it's really telling you, if you have no rights, who has rights? They've given the rights in law away to the government.
To the government, to the state. Yeah.
And they've done that. Listen, this is how they are deceiving the people. Now, I'm thinking to myself, well, how come the lawyers now are not kicking up fuss? Some conscious lawyers. Then I realize, yeah? You see, and I tell people this, and it's nothing, people. I get arguments all the time. In this country, my country I live, I say to myself, I tell them, when you become we have two statuses in law. One's called the solicitor, which you go and he does the administration work, he does all the documents, he prepares the place to go to the barrister, yeah? And then you have the barrister who goes to court. He's the ones you see wearing the wigs and the gowns. He's the barrister, yeah? He does all the court work and all the expertise type work, right? But what I say to them, I say to most people, and there's another thing I get a lot of argument with. I say, when you go to a solicitor, a lawyer, and I don't know if it's the same in America, but it's here. The first thing you must understand when you go to a lawyer is he is an agent of the court.
Right.
Not your agent.
Right. He's not your agent. Of the court. Of the court. Of the system. Of the state.
Right. Right. And you know something? You know when the British took over America, they bought something called the Bar Association to America, yeah? But in a lot of states, I know Pennsylvania, it's actually illegal, you know, under the Constitution, but it's still practiced. I'm just showing you what kind of racket was being run. So the bottom line is, what I'm trying to explain to you is that when we put our problems down to, like, you know, our social conditions, whatever we want to put it down to, I don't think we realize how the law is being made to manipulate us. So I sometimes ask the question, what is really the law? And then when you really look into it, it's for me personally, this is my only person, it's the last stage of these people's power grip is the law. They've created all of this to manipulate and keep us in control.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about, like, what I'm saying is we're talking about our social issues, we're saying, oh, you know, like you explained, what actually happens, you're explaining the effect, but really we're not looking at the cause. And the core is deep rooted in these laws they are making. And really, who's making the laws? The people who have power make the laws and influence the law.
Mm-hmm.
Not really the people.
No, I mean,
and often we don't, sorry, the last thing I say, we don't talk about this. You know, so many times over there, I've said to the, on these stations, I said, we need to having conversations about the law. And they, people, they don't get with it. And the reason why I think they don't get with it, because the law has been made them to feel that there is, that they're inferior. That they
right, and there's nothing they can do. That there's nothing right. they can do. They're going to, that those who are in control, those are in power, and it's not the congresspersons or the Senate. It's those who are outside of that with the big money, and there's a lot of that. You know, they're the ones right. that...
See what's happening? You mm-hmm. see what's happening? So they have actually brainwashed... Because the truth of the matter is, the law is the third party relationship in your whole life. It's that partner which is there with you 24/7, 365. But no one's telling you that you have to get to know it and understand what's going on with it. Right, so people have this phobia, like they don't want. And we must, you know. Even when we was having one discussion on the radio, and a young man said something about something I was involved in, and he said something about an order which he had obtained. A young man, which he was trying to do with his own case, I had never heard of it, And I thought to myself, and I had to go and check it, and I asked, and I said, "Wow!" And he just confirmed what I was trying to tell people, because we all have different experiences, we all have different parts, and it's not always you're going to learn have that information. Even if you studied law, you're not going to have that information at the time if you've not been in that area. So by talking about our experiences, sometimes we can help each other in a yes. big, massive yes. way. I'm not trying to say, yeah. but we shy away from it. We've and it's so important because, like you rightfully say, these power brokers are the ones who are they're not making it the laws in our interest. They're making the laws to control us and keep us in these right. positions.
Yep. And everybody thinks that the government and the laws are made for our benefit and for us
Absolutely.
To be free and to have the kinds of movement and also too. To deal with grievances and so forth. They don't give a damn about your grievances.
No, they're there to make money off you.
Right.
That is right. what it's about. Make money off
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
And that is why the Bar Association, right? This is the most frightful. The Bar Association, they brought that to England. Because remember, when they brought the Bar Association to America, right? These people were speaking Latin. Now, no one understood Latin and other than them. And their cronies and associations, right? And still to this day, yeah, if you look at get a Black Laws Dictionary, you will find that there's something called legalese.
Right.
Legalese,
I was going to say that. When you just mentioned that Black Laws Dictionary, that is a book, Black Laws Dictionary, and the legalese. And what you find, brothers and sisters, is that there are many documents that are prepared to deal with issues that affect people on a personal level, on a state and federal level, and these legalese that tie you, you know, that don't bind you. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Because certain words in English can have a totally, totally different meaning in legalese. Totally different meaning. So you go to court, and they'll ask you, do you understand, right? And you say, yes, you understand. But in legalese, it means something. Basically,
right.
it actually means you're submitting to the will of the court. You're handing over your own sovereignty, your own. And, mm-hmm. and I don't want to go too far into this, but actually means that you've just handed over your sovereignty to a corporation. That's what it actually means,
mm-hmm.
because it's an actual corporation.
Yeah.
Right.
Right,
and they know that they cannot really, they can't hold on to your sovereignty unless you submit it. You understand? And there's many more terms like that. So, you know, and we don't really talk about these things. I think we shy away from it because I don't think we feel that it's just the lawyer's job or people who are more qualified to do it. But it's in our lives, 24/7, 365, and we should talk about these things.
Yes.
Just like we talk about our health. We should.
Yeah. Well, man, appreciate you, Brother Paul. Thank you for this uplifting commentary, man. Yeah.
Oh, it's important. And we and you know what's frightening as well, Baba Olchi? And it really, but this frustrates me so much. We live in a capitalist society, and the point of living in a capitalist society is someone can exploit you. That's right. How capitalist society works. Someone's got to be the exploiter.
Right.
In order to break those power strings, we need to communicate, and we need to move our mentality away from that, because we can help each other, you know. It's so frustrating to me that I recognize that we sometimes do not really fully appreciate how we can help each other and how we can conquer this thing by really supporting each other.
Right.
And that's where the division comes in, because they have sown that division in our minds. They have compartmentalized, that's a very important word, they have compartmentalized our mentality through the indoctrination, which we call education.
Mm-hmm.
And they have sown that into our mentality. So therefore, even if we have the skills, like if we're a lawyer or whatever, sometimes we don't want to tell people the basics, which we know is going on, which we know they've been exploited by, because we think that, oh, we're not going to get paid, or which is wrong. We have to help each other, because they're running game on us. Look, let me just say this last thing. Everything... 150% of what they do is fraud. It's just fraud. Mm-hmm. They have convinced us with religion, with law, with economics. They've convinced us that it's right, that it's some godly thing. None of it is. It's everything they've created to hold us in this position.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
They want to maintain. They want to maintain control. They want to maintain control of the masses, and they surely want to maintain control over finance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They everything, even finance, they have created all this. You know, we just don't fathom the lies they have told us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hear this argument, it started with barter and then it came to this. And I'm thinking, well, how, what? Have you really thought about that? I'm not going to answer that because I'm going to get more arguments. But I'm just saying, I don't know, people, they tell us things and we don't think about it. A lot of what they tell us is total rubbish. It's not true. They tell us these things to keep us in these positions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing is, we don't recognize that we had a society based on none of this. It wasn't based on exploitation, right? We talk about Ubuntu. We talk about cooperation.
Yes.
These were in our psyche. We didn't know. If we did, look, what I'm saying to you, there was no zoos in America. This is what, in Africa, this is what it means. That's a metaphor. What that means is this. We didn't have a mentality to lock things up and put things down.
Right.
Whether it be a lion, a rhino, everything we know could kill us in an instant, it had a right to live. These people don't have that mentality. So we have adapted to their mentality. That's why we can't move forward. That is not our mentality.
No.
We've adopted them to survive.
Yes, I agree.
And we have to do more than surviving now. We have to do more than surviving, because that backward mentality we've adopted, you can see where the world's going. They are destroying the world. You know, we're talking about climate change. Listen, change is inevitable. Change,
sure.
You can't stop change. But
right.
They are manipulating the atmosphere. They're putting things in the atmosphere. Look, they're spraying things in the sky. Yeah, they're poisoning the planet. It's all about control. We are dealing with psychopaths. And we are adopting their psychopathic thing and thinking that we're going to get some solution out of this psychopathic mentality. It ain't going to come. The only thing that's going to come is our destruction. Because they're psychopaths.
That's right.
Why are they locking these animals up and calling them zoos? Because that's their mentality.
That's it.
We live among the wildest beasts, but there's no evidence that we lock anything up in cages, because we didn't have that psychopathic mentality they have. And now we've adopted that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, because we fall under them for so many years, and they've dictated to us for so many years. They've controlled our thought and our mind and our behavior. You know, Carter G. Woodson said it best: when you control a man's thinking, you don't have to worry about his actions. When you render a person an outcast, they'll be an outcast.
Absolutely.
See?
And that's what's happening. They're controlling our minds,
mm-hmm.
so therefore they're controlling our actions.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's always going to be, when you say it's about the mind, there's no higher statement than that, because that is what they're doing. They're controlling our mind. So they could, everything we say, it's almost as if that we're regurgitating their psychopathy. We are regurgitating it like it's true, and it's just total madness.
Yeah,
they are total psychopaths. And look, they're about to destroy the planet, you know.
They're talking
about right now in this country, they're talking about conscription. In this country, these devils talking about, oh, you know, this idiot, Richie Sunak. He's talking about, young people need to get in, do national service, like as if the young people are that stupid. And young people are phoning up the radio saying they don't want to go to fight no Russians. They're not fighting no Russians.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not going to be any fight. Then people got some serious weapons just wipe you out. Man, there's not going to be no fight.
There ain't going to be no fight like that. It's bull. But listen, brother, I got to go. Brother Paul, appreciate you, man. You have a blessed and wonderful weekend. And to all the listeners, I got to run. I got to take my grandson to his game out an hour or so away. So I'm trying to beat the traffic, man.
Have a good weekend, Baba Ochi.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you for all the listeners, Brother Rick, of course, and Brother Lusted. Love you, man. Appreciate y'all and all those who listen to this program. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. That's why this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free our minds. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of us lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. A great weekend, this Juneteenth Day weekend. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Vahardier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.